Public News Service DOA newscast for May the 22nd, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. At least three possible COVID-19 vaccines, including one from Cambridge biotech Moderna, have seen promising results, that in phase one trials. Some experts think infecting volunteers with COVID-19 may be worthwhile to speed vaccine development. Dr. Jeb Zamrochik is a bioethicist and member of the World Health Organization Working Group on Human Challenges studying COVID-19.
If we don't have one that's been shown to be efficacious, then I think it's extremely likely that challenge studies are going to be on the table and that they might even be the best way of testing the remaining candidates as efficiently as possible.
Meantime, the use of telemedicine skyrocketing during the pandemic, a new online tool, is part of the trend. It helps patients pinpoint symptoms of the coronavirus infection.
United Healthcare's COVID Symptom Checker is based on artificial intelligence and offers advice on next steps to take. The application is free to the public, according to Caroline Anderson, a plan director for United Healthcare. She says the tool is a much-needed addition for telehealth users whose numbers are rising in Virginia and West Virginia.
We've seen already that use of telehealth in the last couple of months is exponentially higher than it was in 2019. In Virginia specifically, we've seen almost a 300% increase in telehealth utilization in the last few months.
She says that telehealth services have become critical assets in the last few months for helping people avoid the potential risks associated with in-person trips to healthcare facilities. I'm Diane Bernard.
A study in the American Journal of Managed Care found that more than 60% of patients said no loss of communication happened in virtual video visits compared with office visits. At the same time, a majority said they preferred the online visits for convenience and travel time. And there is a new series of flyers out there to help inform parents and children about their rights to educational services.
While school buildings may be closed, but all children in Pennsylvania still are entitled to a quality public education. The first of five flyers lists five basic things to know about educational rights, from access to free meals to support for online learning. And Sophia Tan with the Education Law Center says additional flyers provide information for particular groups of students who've been historically underserved by schools.
These include students with disabilities, students in foster care, students experiencing homelessness, as well as English learners.
The flyers can be found on the Education Law Center's website at elc-pa.org/COVID-19. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
This is PNS. It turns out a good job is not out of reach for those without a college degree. That's according to a new survey.
According to a Gallup report, nearly 50% of workers who have a high school education and professional certification but no college education are most likely to be in a good job. That's a rate second only to workers with a PhD. At Ivy Tech Community College, Chris Lowry explains that certifications are available in a range of fields, including many that are considered essential.
Whether it's in information technology, advanced manufacturing, healthcare, business, any of those areas, you can find industry certifications that are associated with jobs that are in high demand and, for much of that reason, high wage oriented.
The survey found that high school graduates with no professional certification are less likely to be in good jobs, and that workers with some college education and a credential typically don't see an improvement in job quality. 45% of U.S. workers in the survey said they had earned some kind of professional certification, including 42% of workers without a college degree. Mary Sherman reporting.
The report says workers with certifications also are less likely to work in automation, to spend time on short repetitive tasks, and to lack creativity in their position. And lawmakers could sideline Montana's radioactive waste disposal rules from oil and gas industries next week despite public opposition, Eric Tegedoff explains.
The Legislative Environmental Quality Council voted to delay Department of Environmental Quality limits last month and could make that decision final at its May 27th meeting. The rules were aimed at limiting radioactive waste materials at landfills. Seth Newton is a rancher in Glendive and member of the Northern Plains Resource Council. He lives near the only waste site permitted for radioactive material in Montana so far.
We just want to know what's going on and know it's done right and the contents being put in there will stay in there. They're being put there to be managed safely indefinitely.
Debate over the waste limit has gone on for years. Senator Mike Lang called the Environmental Quality Council meeting in April when he said the council hadn't been able to scrutinize the latest proposal.
Finally, Suzanne Potter reports environmental groups calling on the Congress now to revive the Civilian Conservation Corps.
Connecticut state parks are dotted with stone structures, trails, and roads that were built by CCC crews in the 1930s and 40s. Colin O'Mara, who heads the National Wildlife Federation, says a new CCC program would help people get back to work after the pandemic, improve parks and other infrastructure, and fight climate change to boot.
It's one of those solutions that actually solves 15 different public policy priorities all at once. And I mean, I'd argue that it's as close to a economic recovery silver bullet as is out there right now.
Have a great weekend and do keep a safe distance. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.